will start our meeting with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayokono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. And so moving on to the next item on our agenda is the approval of the May 15th, 2024 meeting minutes. If you all could take a second, if you haven't already, to review those minutes, it's linked in our agenda and it's also in our box folder. Just to review, if you haven't, I'll give you a few minutes for that, and then I will open the floor for a motion to approve.
I think we need to do a roll call first, if I recall correctly.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My apologies. I will back it up. We will do roll call first.
No problem.
Yvonne.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Excited to start our new semester. And welcome everyone to the EA, the Employee Assembly. I will be saying your name out loud to do attendance or the roll call. I am confident I will mispronounce at least one person's name. My apologies in advance. And please, please, please correct me when I do pronounce someone's name incorrectly so that I can know how to pronounce your name in the future. Carl Cornell.
Here.
Crawley Erica.
Present.
Henshaw Don.
I'm here.
Treat Wendy.
Present.
Arnold Bryan.
I am here.
Banta Mel. Blakeslee Adam.
Accounted for.
It's okay.
Ricky Boche. Michael Boggs.
Present.
Frank Cantone. Sean Chang.
Present.
Bethany Dixon. Jamie Doss.
Present.
Thomas Hambury.
Here.
Kyle Carnuta.
I am here and I'll be on camera soon. Sorry.
Thank you, Kyle. Ellie Crum.
I'm here.
Jeremy Cruiser.
Present.
Sophie Lanches.
Present.
Yalverton Lucane. Christy Mahoney.
Hello.
David McDermott.
I'm here.
Pia Mengers.
Here.
Anne Morris. Kevin Phillips. Stephanie Reus.
Here.
Rissou, sorry. Kate Supron. Deborah Serene. Jenna Van Houten. And Danielle Weirson.
You got it. Thank you.
Awesome. I believe that was everyone. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, Yvonne, just a couple of people that came in after you started taking roll. Ricky's here. Yalverton is also here. And I'm not sure if you heard Jana, but she's here too.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Yvonne. I'm here too. Bethany Dixon.
Thank you. Awesome. I think we're all set now. Thank you.
Great. Just as a quick reminder, folks who are EA voting members, can you please put EA in front of your name, and just in case we need to go into executive session so the OA can put us in there together. But moving forward to the approval of the minutes for May 15th, if you all could take a look at the minutes for May 15th, for those who just came in, we kind of went out of order. My apologies. I've already done the land acknowledgement. And we're looking to approve the minutes. So I'll give people a few minutes to look over that agenda for the meeting minutes for May 15th, which is linked in our agenda. And then I'll open the floor for the approval of the minutes. Yes, Wendy.
I would like to motion to approve by unanimous consent the minute from May 15th, 2024.
Is there a second? Carl, I see that you second that.
I'll second that, gladly.
Awesome. So it's been properly moved and seconded to approve the May 15th, 2024 minutes with unanimous consent. Thanks, Jeremy. All right, so now we're moving on to the call for late additions to the agenda. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Anybody have anything they want to add to our agenda today? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to our business of the day. So the first item of business for the day is to assign elected positions to the vacant committees, their chairs as well, and for EA voting members. So what we need to do is staff those vacant seats that we have open with folks who may have not been present at our retreat. We wanted to give folks the opportunity to volunteer for roles that they were interested in. And since we have a majority of everyone here, can someone remind me what seats we need to fill?
One of them was the education committee.
Okay. Employee education and development?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any, I can read the charge for the Employee Education and Development Committee to see if there would be anyone who's interested in it. So the charge for this committee is to review programs and proposals affecting employee education, including work-related and elective educational activities, and to recommend changes. Identify employee education needs and opportunities for employees to engage in the academic mission of the university through research and programmatic activities. Review and recommend proposals for pipeline development and professional advancement opportunities for employees, and recommend actions the university may undertake to address employee education needs. Brian, I see your hand.
Yes, I just had a quick question. So I'm wondering if we can go through the posts that were discussed at the retreat and mention who filled them. And I ask that because I volunteered to take one of those, but I had to leave before the conversation was concluded, and I don't know if I was appointed to that committee or not, which might affect whether I'm interested in the education committee.
Okay. Wendy?
Well, as vice chair of operations and finance, it's actually my role to make sure that the committees are staffed appropriately and all that stuff. So I do have my notes from the retreat, if that'll help at all. We have Christy Mahoney for Welfare Committee, Bethany re-chair the Benefits and Policy Committee, and then there were a bunch of people that we kind of went around the table and asked who would like to sit on what committee. So, Ryan, I have you. I believe I have you on the Campus Welfare Committee for the UA, but I don't see anything for you on like one of our committees.
Yes, I remember volunteering for that, but I didn't know how it was concluded, so I'm happy to continue.
Okay. So, and I apologize, I did not prepare anything for this with all the vacancies and the follow-up from the retreat. I had thought there would be some follow-up from the retreat of what we need to fill on our own committees and on the university assembly committees and all that kind of stuff. So I can get something out to everyone in time for our meeting next time around, or even after this meeting, I can send something around.
So Wendy, do we want to move this to our next meeting so that you have that time to prepare to see what we have open and what we don't have open?
That would probably be helpful so that we're not going through and having to go back and forth with notes and stuff. The one thing that just everyone will need to keep in mind is that on all of the EA standing committees, there are 11 voting members, 6 of which are from the Employee Assembly, 5 of which who are not Employee Assembly members. You can have more than 11 people on your committee. I know, Christy, I'm going to target you for a second because the Employee Welfare Committee is a very popular one. I think there's like 20-ish people on that. Of that, though, only 11 people can vote or be voting members of it. The other individuals more than welcome to join the meetings and speak, but on any such actions or resolutions that are brought to the assembly. Yeah, Kyle, it does actually rule. Anything that's brought to the floor for a vote is only voted on by individuals that are voting members of that committee. The only exception is the elections committee, that by default, everyone is on that committee. No outside EA members, it's all current EA members who are not up for election this coming spring, in spring of 2025. So pretty much, I mean, we can actually go through that and determine who's going to be the chair of that committee, because we didn't really get that far at the retreat. But everything else, like I said, I'll just need to go through and do the committee set up and see who we've got, where we need to fill gaps.
Awesome. So can we do the chairs of these committees first then? Oh, Carl, you did have your hand up.
Yeah, so as I have it written, there are 2 open chair positions. One is the Employee Education Development, and the other one is the Election Committee. We did not decide on those 2 chairs, so it would be great to put those into place today if we could, and then we could table the rest of the committee section by vote to table that at that point, if that's amenable to you, Erica.
I am fine with moving forward with that so that we can progress through the rest of our agenda. So Wendy, go ahead and take the lead on that.
Okay. So for Education Committee, if you want, I can read through the charge if that's helpful for people. Yes, no, maybe not. I'm not seeing any thumbs up or anything like that.
Seems to be head nods.
Oh, I do see thumbs up and head nods. Thank you, everyone. Y'all are catching me kind of a little off guard. It's been a little chaotic in my world. All right. So, Employee Education and Development Committee, by delegation from the Assembly, the committee will review programs and proposals affecting employee education, including work-related and elective educational activities, and recommend changes. Identify employee education needs and opportunities for employees to engage in the academic mission of the university through research and programmatic activities. Review and recommend proposals for pipeline development and professional advancement opportunities for employees, and recommend actions the university may undertake to address employee education needs. A representative from Benefit Services, a representative from Organizational and Workforce Development, and a representative from the School of Continuing Education in summer sessions shall be invited to serve as non-voting members of the committee. The committee may propose, review, and amend resolutions as it deems appropriate. The committee must approve resolutions referred for its consideration before they can be advanced to the assembly for debate and for a vote. So last year's chair was Jeremy. I don't know if he is comfortable with repeating as chair of election or education and development, or if we would like a new person to be on that.
Personally, I'd like to see somebody else take that position this time around.
Do you have anyone that would like to be chair of that committee? Representatives that were on it last year from the EA were myself, Kevin Phipps, Ann Morris, Thomas Hanbury, and Marcy Benda, who is no longer an EA member, but Thomas, Jeremy, Ann, Kevin, and myself, Carl, all. I plan on remaining on the committee, but I would prefer not to be chair.
Yeah, I was also on it last term, but I've already volunteered for so many other things, I can't take that on too.
Okay. You want to continue on, Danielle? Because your name isn't listed. I'm just going by what's on the website right now. Your name isn't listed.
I do, yeah. I said that when we did our go around at the retreat.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yes, I see this.
And Wendy, can you remind folks of the meeting requirement for just committees in general? I think it's like once or twice a semester.
Committee, well, it's going to vary. I know I don't want to speak on behalf of Christy, but I believe they meet every other week, pretty much like right before our meeting. We tried to line it up with that. As right. Yeah.
That's correct. About 45 minutes.
So being on a committee, it's an additional, on top of like our regular scheduled EA meetings, it's an additional maybe hour and a half to 2 hours a month if the committee meets once or twice a month. The exception probably is the elections committee, only because they are way more active in the late winter, early spring kind of stuff, because there's really not a whole lot of action or activity going on in the fall for that.
And I'll just say that for when I was chairing the education committee, we typically met once a month because most of the work was done outside of the committee time itself.
Right. So looking, I do have just a handwritten list of who was at the retreat and was interested in being on the different committees. So for education, I do have Danielle. And if I'm speaking out of line or I've got something wrong, just say, hey, Wendy, that's not right. I have Danielle, Sophie, and Deb. And like I said, I'm not sure if Thomas would like to continue on, or if Kevin would like to continue on.
Wendy, I'd like to continue on as part of the education committee. I just don't have the time to chair it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are kind of in that bind.
Wendy, it's Tom Hambry. I'd like to continue on also.
Yes, Jessica?
Erica, I think you were referring to the bylaws where it says in section, it's probably Article 3, Section 3.3, standing committees must hold and publicize at least two meetings per semester that are open to staff community. Mm-hmm. So that is the expectation. Mm-hmm.
So Deb and Sophie, you were interested in being on the education committee as well, correct?
That is correct. This is Deb. I would be interested maybe in a chair position, but I don't know if I'm ready to take that on yet because I haven't been on this committee. So it'd be great if I could get my...
I would be happy to help. Largely, it's about scheduling the time and getting it on folks' calendars. It really isn't a whole lot more than that.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you that during the last term, we collected early on ideas about topics we'd like to pursue, and we continue to update that list, which is on Box, of topics that we'd like to pursue, and assign some names to them of people who were interested in putting some of the time and effort into pursuing those. And each meeting, we just look for updates on how progress is going. Does anybody need any help with anything? So it's relatively quick. And like I said, we only met once a month.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. It's something maybe I could think about. I don't want to, if there are other people that might be interested, I don't know if we need to make a decision today or if there are others that are on the committee that aren't present who would want an opportunity to chair if they already have experience. I'm willing to step back. But if you need a chair, I would consider it. And maybe Jeremy, you would offer a little guidance to me to get me going.
Certainly, no problem.
Thank you.
Well, with Jeremy, myself, Deb, Danielle, Tom, and Sophie, we have our six EA members. So one of those six needs to be the chair of the Education and Development Committee. So Deb, I think.
Okay, I can do it.
I'm going to nominate you.
Okay.
With the guidance from Jeremy, who's very, very stellar at this. You've got a lot of support behind you as well. So.
Excellent. So I would just maybe look to get something on the books for next month to meet.
Yep. What I did last term, and maybe it'll work for you, is send out a link to like a go-to meeting or when to meet, which are websites for organizing meetings. And just collected the best time for everybody.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So we are set with the education committee for the elections committee. I'm actually going to ask Jessica or Eric really quick. Do we have an updated listing of all of our members so we know who's basically on the education or the election committee?
I've got it on my screen if you want me to just share it.
Yeah, sure.
I have the membership list. Yep.
Yeah.
Eric has to let me share. Maybe he has it up too.
I don't yet, but let me enable the sharing. There we go.
All right. So if you see your name in the green or the blue, you are by default on the elections committee. And one of those lucky people needs to be chair of said elections committee. I was chair last term. Happy to hand over the document, guide, be a resource, whatever may need to be done. But yeah, we need someone to be a chair for the election committee.
Yeah, I've put the charge of the election committee in the chat, but that is not an official place, so I can read out the charge if people need it. The election committee, by delegation from the assembly, will review assembly election rules, procedures, and recommend changes as needed, apply election rules and procedures approved by the assembly, and plan and support, in collaboration with the communications committee, efforts to solicit candidates for vacant positions in the assembly. The election committee consists of all members of the assembly whose terms continue beyond the current session of the assembly. The committee may propose, review, and amend resolutions as it deems appropriate. The committee must approve resolutions referred for its consideration before they can be advanced to assembly for debate and for a vote.
Thank you, Carl. Brian.
I don't have the bandwidth to chair a committee right now. I'm happy to keep serving, but I should be on this one as the non-exempt representative. I was on this last spring. I don't see my name.
You're not on it because the non-exempt employee representative at large seat is up for election in spring 2025.
Oh, okay. My misunderstanding. Apologies.
Like I said, this committee, time-wise, it's a little more heavy in the spring than it is in the fall. But it's really just working a lot with Jessica as far as calendar and schedule of the spring election, and then working with Don this year around for in communications to make sure we get the word out of the election and the open seat and whatnot.
If it's mostly next, I mean, I don't know if I'm on this committee if what you're showing is what's open next term. But if I'm still the non-exempt representative, I guess I can go ahead and chair this for the year if I'm still on it.
No. I don't think you can because your seat is up for election. So we, right. I'm also up for election this next term, which means that we can't actually be part of this committee.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, again, I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying.
Only the individuals that are in the green, that their seats are up either in 2026 or 2027.
Stephanie said that she's willing to chair. She put in the chat.
Hooray. Second. Yay.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. And Stephanie, I'll reach out to you with information if need be. Or not even if need be, I just will, because it'll help you with planning and whatnot. Okay.
So Wendy, were those the only two committees that needed chairs?
Yeah, they are.
Awesome.
As far as the members and the composition of each committee, like I said, I will put that together. I will get that sent out so that everyone can say, yep, that's what I agreed to or offered to sit on at either at the retreat. And I'll identify if we have any holes in for at least EA members in any of the committees. And then we can start to reach out to non-EA members to fill the other spots as needed.
Awesome. So do we need to table the rest of this till the next meeting? Yes, Carl.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that in the email that goes out, we have a couple liaison appointments that are still open, I believe. One in transportation and one in the Committee for Campus Constituency Elected Trustees. I have two open from my notes. So if those could go out as well, that would be really great.
Fully intend on doing that. My apologies. Like I said, this summer just kind of got away from me, and I think for a lot of people. And yes, I will send out everything as a summary from the retreat as far as committees, liaisons, where we need someone, where we don't need someone, that sort of thing.
So I just want to put this on folks' radar, the employee elected trustee liaison piece. We need to do that sooner rather than later, because they have to elect their employee, the students have to elect their trustee by October 1st. And so we need to have somebody on that committee so we have our voice present for that. So if we could actually get a person who would be interested in that liaison position today, that would be awesome. So they can start attending those meetings.
I'll just chime in. I was actually our liaison for the committee for campus constituency elected trustees last term. So again, if anyone has any questions, I'm more than happy to provide some guidance or details or anything like that. As Erica just indicated, I would believe, because it's the fall election, it's the grad professional student elected trustee that they're electing in the fall. Their terms are 2 years and they stagger. So since they're electing a grad professional student elected trustee this fall, they won't have an election in the spring, and then next spring they'll elect the undergrad. And then our very own Hey DePew, who was just recently elected this past spring and on the board of trustees as well as the employee elected trustee, and hers is a 4-year term. But also again, time commitment wise for this liaison, it's not a heavy lift by any stretch of the means.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on what you did as a liaison member?
Well, there is a representative from each assembly, I believe, or maybe Jessica or Eric can speak a little bit more to it.
Jessica?
So it is not a heavy lift, but it's an important position, and it's important to have all the constituencies represented on this committee. For the most part, you are you're going to review the procedures in the calendar at the start of a election cycle. And then basically the committee is available when there are appeals and challenges. That's the biggest part that the members of the CCCET do. The committee is meeting tomorrow morning. Anyone who's appointed after that, I would just fill in separately and get you up to speed. But we do have to work very quickly in order to meet this deadline from the trustees.
The smoother the election goes, the less you have to do.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jeremy.
Hey,
I would just add some examples of some issues that you would resolve would be, I believe in the past there were questions around eligibility of certain postering things that students had engaged in. Was this violation of the regulations? In the past, there were also some questions around maybe there was, I think, a student athlete who didn't publicize, but somebody else on their behalf, you know, had done some, I think, advocating for them. And so there was a question about whether or not that was some sort of violation of the rules. And so I think there isn't a big extended year-long time commitment, but when it matters, that these are some important issues to work through and understand what the rules and regulations are and whether or not people are compliant with them. So not a long time commitment over the year, but, you know, in a short span of time, depending on how, you know, the election goes, maybe some issues that you really have to research and really think about. Yep.
Thank you. Is there anyone who would be willing to take on this position? Seeing no one, Jessica, is it possible for me to serve in that position at all?
Asher? Yep, that's totally fine.
Okay, I'll do it.
Thank you.
All right. So moving on in our agenda, we need to move to the approval of the EA budget for the 2024-2025 academic year, and this is for Wendy.
Again, I was not aware that this was going to be, I missed our executive meeting on Friday, so I was not aware that this was on our agenda. I have not drafted the resolution. I have not met with Jessica to get our budget or anything, so I move to table this to our next meeting for a vote.
Okay. Do we have a second? Carl, are you seconding?
Yep. I'm bringing up a logistics thing. To table an item, we do have to have a vote to table the item, and we do have to have a majority. So I offer that we move to table the budget as well as a second, but I think we also need to go back and table the committee discussion until next meeting as well. Sorry.
No worries. So we will start with the budget and then go back to the appointments. So all in favor, if you are in favor, please just put the yes check mark in your reactions to table to the next meeting the budget.
And as a reminder, only EA members should be voting. So if you're not an EA member, please don't vote. Mm-hmm.
All right. All opposed to tabling the budget to next meeting? Is there any opposition?
If you are opposed, please use the red X symbol.
And any abstentions?
And abstentions, please use the gray double arrow, the slowdown.
And Kit, I will address your question in one second. Okay. All right. Have we tallied our vote? Awesome.
Seems like motion is approved with majority.
Can I just ask a question? Were we voting on tabling the information?
We're going to do the budget.
We're going to do that vote. We were doing that vote after this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was for tabling the budget?
Yes.
And then we're going to, got it. I just want to make sure that we're all there where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll move to table our appointments for committees. So all in favor of tabling that to our next meeting, please use the green check mark.
I'll second the motion.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Thank you.
Just keeping us on track.
All right, awesome. Okay. All opposed? You can remove your green check marks if you aren't opposed. Okay. Are there any abstentions? for. Okay. Thanks, Kyle. All right. It's been approved to table our minutes. I'm sorry, not our minutes. It's been approved to table our appointments to committees to our next meeting. And Kit asked in the chat, because this is being recorded, that the folks can't see the chat. The president is coming to the next meeting, and his portion of the meeting does come first. So that'll be about 30 minutes of our hour and 15 minute meeting. So we should have enough time to go back and approve the budget, and the appointments to the committee should be able to be made. Oh, no, Kit, you're fine. You're fine. All right, so moving on to our section on the Cornell UAW negotiations. So there was a statement that I sent out to all of you as UA members to discuss the importance of union labor, as well as to receive feedback from folks who were asked to volunteer to serve in some of those vacant roles where we needed to support our students. And so we wanted to get some feedback from folks about if there are any suggestions for edits, or if we believe this is an important message to send out to our employee constituency. Kyle.
Yeah, I was happy to see that it was on the agenda to talk about. Definitely very supportive of our striking members of staff. And I was wondering where this came from, like this idea to have a statement and the comment collection. Is this something that people are asking for? Upon my first read of it, I mean, it seems like it is very supportive of the UAW members, but the like vibe of asking for input from the volunteers, as opposed to also asking for input from folks who are striking, it feels like the message is a little bit mixed. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit unclear about what the point of the statement was and what the tone was, and just kind of like where this is coming from.
Absolutely. So we can give some context. So Yvonne, Hey, and I had been receiving some feedback from our non-union employees about volunteerism as it comes to the vacancies that were made because of the strike, and what folks were being asked to do across campus relative to their actual jobs. And so it was a lot of mixed feedback. And maybe heavily on the negative end of that feedback. And we wanted to get a well-rounded view of what folks' experiences were with that volunteerism on campus, and if that would prompt a resolution being made by our assembly. So if there was an issue with folks being asked to volunteer for these roles, whether that was volunteerism or being voluntold to do things, should we then take a stance as EA via a resolution, right? But we also wanted to acknowledge that even though there may be some disdain around that, we understand the importance of union labor, and we do support our other union employees' right to advocate for what they need. Jeremy.
I think that the desire to find well-rounded feedback is a good one. And I think that's a good reason to open it more broadly to the staff population to look for feedback just in general. I do think that from what I have heard and people that I've talked to around this, that there was some confusion and misunderstandings, in part because the way the calls for volunteers was made, it was not until later that some folks realized that what they were doing was crossing a picket line. And that lack of clarity, I think, is something that is concerning, particularly when it comes to union action.
Thank you. Kyle?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up. And thank you for that, Jeremy. That adds some context. And I got some emails as well that I was not very happy about. But I guess the point that I wanted to raise here was just, I know that I still have some questions about exactly what's going on campus, but that may be because I'm remote. And so I don't get to see what's actually happening on campus. And like more information about the situation would be helpful. I know typically with the EA, like this is something that we would have the experts or representatives come in and talk to us and answer our questions so that we can form an opinion about what's going on. If we open like a call, like Jeremy was saying, I feel like it would be good to ask for broader feedback and input, but like how many people really read our newsletter? How representative will that really be? How many people will we really get giving us input in that kind of a platform? So if we were to make a statement, I would just want it to be well-researched, and like we even have our own messaging that's coming to us from leadership that we could be sending to you or to Yvonne so that, you know, we can see like, what does all this messaging really look like? So we can form some kind of an opinion to make a statement. Basically what I'm saying is I feel like there's a lot of information that's out there already about the situation. I don't think it's being handled very well by the university. We probably could just make that statement if we feel compelled to do so, unless the goal here is to solicit feedback from a wider audience, in which case maybe like hosting an event would make more sense and invite people in to come and give feedback rather than just sending out a statement into the ether. I just don't know how many people are really going to see it and respond.
An event for open conversation is actually, I think, a great idea.
So just in response, I see you, Brian, I see you, Ricky. I wonder how having an event, especially if it's only on one campus, includes the other campuses that we serve as well.
We also run a risk because we cannot represent or speak for or on behalf of anyone in a union that's outside of the purview of the EA. We're treading pretty close to some concerning issues here, and we might want to just seek some guidance before taking action.
Brian?
I just wanted to offer the idea, like I contacted Erica as soon as I heard about the strike, and I personally felt as somebody representing staff, it was really important for the EA to be visible in this, actually, and wondering if maybe a simpler kind of statement would be more productive. I mean, not necessarily something that is researched or taking a side, but just kind of pronouncing our support for staff rights at the university. And I also suggested to Erica that we see if we can have somebody from, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's a moot point since it's settled. I don't think it is. But I thought it'd be really great to have somebody from the UAW come and meet with the EA to talk about kind of the history they have with the university, what strike negotiations were like, anything like that. And also want to ask if anybody has any insight as to how to make that connection, because I have looked at the UAW office in Ithaca and they don't have any contact information. And I know a couple of people who were involved in the strike but have been trepidatious about approaching them, which maybe is more appropriate now that it's kind of resolved. But I'm just throwing that out there for discussion. Thanks.
I used to manage the UAW president. She was one of my employees over at the Statler when I was a manager there. I could reach out to her and just see if she'd be willing to come and meet with us or speak with us. I don't, no promises, but I will certainly try.
Ricky?
Yeah, I was just thinking of the timing now that the strike is over, and not to say that something of a support or feedback isn't important after the fact, but putting out something now seems a little awkward to me, now that people are returning to campus and returning to their normal roles and things will hopefully kind of get back to normal. I think asking for feedback after all of this might make some sense, but putting out a support email now that it's all kind of over seems just, the timing seems a little bit off to me. But that's, you know, if everybody else agrees, it's not a big deal. It's just something that I was thinking about.
Wendy?
I just want to remind people, and Carl, I might be overstepping, and I think I know I'm about to say what you're going to say. Just as a reminder, two things. You need to raise your hand to be recognized by the chair before speaking out of turn. And secondly, comments that are made in the chat are not part of the official record. So if anyone would like that to be part of the official record, please raise your hand so you can speak rather than putting a comment in the chat.
Carl?
Yep, Wendy, you hit exactly both of my items. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Yvonne?
Thank you, Erica. And just wanted to share a little bit more information too about the statement. You know that I think per conversations, it was something that came about in an effort to show that, you know, like we do support workers' rights and show that there have been a lot of work improvements because of organizations like that. And, you know, like having this outlet as well gives, given the feedback that we received or, you know, different staff workers reaching out to Erica, hey, myself, and I would assume some of you here in this call as well, is to open that up to really for us to understand how were people feeling about these calls to volunteer, were those calls appropriate, from our conversations with some leadership members, you know, that our understanding is that it was supposed to be all volunteer based. We want to understand if that was the case. And if it wasn't, then how do we as EA step in and ensure that this does not happen again and that we support and advocate for our own peers as staff members as well. So although, you know, that there's a lot of commentary about the statement, I hope that, you know, the feedback collection is something that you can continue to support, as I believe it's going to be important for us moving forward in determining how do we have those conversations with leadership as well.
Kyle?
It sounds to me like there's maybe two objectives. One is expressing support for UAW, and the other is addressing potentially a response by the university for calling for volunteerism, but did they handle that well? Maybe not. So if that is the case, if it's these dual objectives, I agree with, and I can't remember who it was earlier, all these little boxes with faces, sorry, but someone said earlier, like maybe just like a simpler, straightforward message of support for UAW. I think even if the strike is over, that's fine. Like, great, we can show them support after this is resolved. Support anytime I think is good. Make that very like sweet, simple, concise, to the point. But then if there really is a need to investigate the university's communication around volunteering, I think that does require a little bit more digging. And that maybe is something that we can do a little research on, have someone come in and talk to us and explore if that's fodder for a resolution. That's just my two cents.
Thanks, Kyle. Brian?
I just wanted to suggest that if we are able to kind of meet with somebody from the union, like I agree that it's kind of awkward to send something after the fact, but I would be in full support of doing so if that's what the committee wants to do. But I think if we can find some way to meet with some union leadership, whether it's UAW or another union on campus, I don't even know what other unions are on campus, and I would love to know. I think having some kind of something in the bank, like some kind of policy statement that we can bring out immediately so that we don't have to wait a month after the fact, I think would be beneficial. And just kind of to reiterate a point, like one of my primary reasons for joining this committee was to be an advocate for staff rights. And I would like to think of this committee as a primary voice for all of those people on campus. So if there's something, again, just like really general and vague about supporting that kind of action of those kinds of rights, I'd be in favor of doing something.
Thanks, Brian. Melissa?
So I just want to agree. I think the messaging, I think we should send out a message, but I think the message here needs to be reworked because of the strike is currently over. I think getting people's perspective, not only on what happened during the strike, but the outcome of the strike as well, because there are some things that have happened with the UAW contract that I'm hearing feedback from, you know, regarding the two floating holidays. Like, not everyone at this point is getting them. Is that something the university is going to look into? So how has the contract negotiation with the union affected other people's jobs and their salaries? These are just feedback that I'm getting from some of my staff members. And I think that that's worth also looking at. And I think we need to get a lot more information before we like really send something out.
Thank you. Okay. So we will take that feedback. We'll try to rework this statement and then bring a new version to you all after we've had some more information, because again, we didn't have some of this context from the things that you all were hearing as well, right? And then we can bring that back to the EA to look at, see if we need to continue to workshop it, make it more concise, and we'll go from there. Jeremy?
Would this be worth maybe assigning to one of our newly formed committees to discuss before it comes back to the full body?
Sure. Maybe education or...
Education. Welfare tends to be a dumping ground for everything, but it does fit welfare also.
Okay. Carl?
Do you think if we're going to be asking union representatives about benefits and policies that have been implemented, that maybe this could be a double task of they take the benefits and policy side and maybe welfare takes the being forced to volunteer side of things? And then maybe the committee that originally put this together could put up just a statement of support. And that would be a fair way to kind of divvy up some of these tasks.
I think we also want to stay in touch with Office of the Assemblies to be sure we're not crossing any lines here. Because like I said, we're toeing up to it. And I just want to be sure that we don't put our toe across that line.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is a question for the interim president, President Kotlikoff. We just wanted to remind folks to submit your questions to the link that we sent out in August, just so that we can review the questions and condense them if there's anything that's duplicative. And so we can have those submitted to President Kotlikoff by September 11th. I do believe the cutoff to submit questions is either today or tomorrow because it's been open for so long. So let us know. We can probably just send out another email that has the link to the question after our meeting today, so folks can send in whatever questions they want to interim President Kotlikoff to answer. Okay. Awesome. And so Kyle was generous enough to send us the decision that Governor Hochul made with regard to access to free menstrual products at public campuses. And because Cornell has a public side to our private campus, wanted to talk about if this is something that the EA should address, especially with it can affect us as well. But I was thinking in our meeting with the executive committee that this may be something we bring to the UA because it affects the entire campus, not just employees. So this may be something that we bring up to the UA so that the UA can propose a resolution and then us as the EA can also back that resolution. How do you all think, what do you all think about that? Kyle.
I just wanted to add a little bit of context. There's a link in the agenda that I had shared that than the executive committee shared. So y'all can take a look. I didn't even know that this was in the works. I'm really happy that it is. It's funny because it was a campus that is a private, it was Syracuse, I think, that was really advocating for this. So they're not even public. But I think they're just using this for some fodder to get menstrual products on their campus as well. But basically the idea is that we've got free toilet paper in every bathroom. So wouldn't it be great if also there was some gender equity and there were free menstrual products in bathrooms as well? So now there's an actual, I don't know if there's like actual action items and like deadlines in the bill that she signed into law. So that's where my question comes in, is the way that the law is written, it doesn't seem like there's a, you know, a call to action that's legally binding for public universities to make this happen. So can we just apply a little bit of pressure to whoever the powers that be are to ensure that this does happen at Cornell? I know it is something that the GPSA and the student assembly were really advocating for over the last couple of sessions as well. So just getting ahead of it, putting our voices, the employee assembly as well, in support of this. I think it's great though, Erica, to bring this to the university assembly. I agree. I think this affects everybody.
Awesome. Do we have any more comment? Yes, Melissa?
So I just want to add some context. In our restrooms, we do have free products that I believe a student group was doing at one point. I'm not sure the background on that, so I don't want to speak to that, but I do know we had pads and tampons in, I think, all of our restrooms, both men's and women's and gender neutral in our facility. Mm-hmm. I could be completely wrong. So more feedback, great.
I can add a little bit of context to that, and I might be out of date, but when I was on the GPSA, my understanding was that there were some student groups that had raised some funds to make that happen, but it was not supported by the university and those funds were not sustained. So it wasn't something that would continue in perpetuity.
Sophie?
For the Cornell Tech campus, it's available in women's restrooms and all of the facilities on our campus.
Jessica?
So I'll add to Kyle's context, and I do think this would be a great thing to take to the UA because the student assemblies both were very interested and active in this. My understanding is that several years ago, the student assembly's infrastructure fund gave a large chunk of money to, I don't quite remember who, what group, I think it was GJAC, but I'm not 100% sure, to put free menstrual products in all bathrooms in academic buildings, residential, academic buildings, I think. And as Kyle said, the money has run out on that. They might have a little bit, but the SA's money to them is totally gone. So I think this would be a great thing to take to the UA. And if I can help with the background, I can dig more up for you.
Michael?
Alumni Affairs downtown, they have free products. And I know Annabelle Taylor on campus also has free products. So I don't know how else widespread it is.
Kyle?
I guess just the one last thing I'll add then, because it sounds like there are products available kind of ad hoc. It's probably dependent on who the institution is, like what the building is, where the funding's coming from. So I think that's a good question for the UA, is this is about consistency and it's about access for all and it's about equity. So it might require, okay, like what is the next step? Maybe there's an investigation the university needs to do about where are these products available? Who's paying for them? The law only requires access to these products in public spaces. So does that mean that any of the private side of campus is excluded? And does that mean that the university will not put products there? Like, where is the money going to come from? So there's a lot of questions, but I think that's the point of this, is we're trying to be proactive to make sure it happens as opposed to just letting it languish, because there is no immediately legally binding call to action for the university from the state.
Tiana?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to make a point that Cornell Agritech, which is part of the SUNY system, or part of Cal's, does not have any products here. So that would be, I'd be very supportive in looking into this more. So thank you.
And Carl?
This is just our, we're approaching about 7 minutes before the end of the meeting.
Thank you, Carl. All right, thank you for this robust conversation, great people. So we are going to move to the next item on the agenda, which is access to the EA Zoom link. So I know folks were having discussion about like putting the access to the Zoom link in other places, but in conversations with the OA, it's better for folks to request who are not EA members to request that link be sent to them through the assembly@cornell.edu email so that it has less chance of being corrupted, because the more times that is just forwarded, I believe, Jessica, it can have the unfortunate ability to be corrupted in some type of way. So it's better for it to come directly from whomever created the meeting. And then on to committee reports, and we'll start with the executive committee. Yvonne.
Hi, sorry, I was typing in the last link where you can also use to subscribe. For executive committee, we met for the first time last Friday. So that was our first meeting of this 2024-2025 session. I mean, we, you know, had the opportunity to discuss various topics that are here on the agenda. And yeah, I mean, if you have any particular items that you would like to see in the agenda or for us as the executive committee to chat about a little bit further, feel free to send it to myself. I'll put my email on the chat so that you have that information available. And please know that we do also meet with the Vice President and Chief Human Resources to gather more information. So if you have any questions that we can bring to her as well, please let us know. Thank you.
Awesome. And the Communications Outreach and Recognition Committee, that would be Don. Do you have
any? Hello, everybody. Yeah, ours is pretty quick and to the point. We haven't actually met yet, but I'm going to be sending out the first meeting invite in the coming week. So right now we're still in the planning stage.
Thank you. And I know we have Christine Mahoney here for Welfare Committee. I don't know if you all have met at all. And Christine, are you still keeping that chair role? Oh, sorry. Hey, Wendy.
Christy actually jumped off the meeting about a half an hour ago.
Oh, okay. No worries. Thanks.
Yep.
So we will move on to, hi, Carl.
I just wanted to say that it wasn't officially said, but Christy did write in the minutes that she will continue on as the chair for Welfare Committee. And she said, thank you for the continued faith in me.
Awesome. Thank you. And I know we have about 5 minutes here. And I know Hey Hey mentioned she wanted to bring up a topic in open discussion. So we can have that before we adjourn. So we'll move to our open discussion. Hey Hey.
Yep, sure. So I just was curious. We received an email today that the employee celebration that usually happens in the fall has been moved over to the spring. I've gotten some emails and questions about this, and I was curious about what the feedback from the community was in regards to that employee celebration. Did you have any thoughts on it? Any questions? What is your overall sort of take on you know, that employee celebration being moved into the spring?
I'll jump in here. To be honest, Hey, I didn't even know we did one. So it being moved to the spring, I'm not sure. Jeremy?
You're on mute.
Oh, we can't hear you, Jeremy.
Okay, bit tangential here, but I've been involved in the employee celebration every year since I started at Cornell. But since all of IT has now gone remote and we're now hiring, most of my team no longer lives in the state. It's feels very different, and there's kind of a loss in interest in, we don't want to do another Zoom. That feels like work. So, and we're not going to show up in person. So I just something to think about with the celebration. I don't know what can be done to change that. It's just a fact of the world these days, but that's my two cents.
Thank you, Jeremy. Any other lasting thoughts here about the movement of the employee celebration from fall to spring? Wendy?
I just wanted to answer Yvonne's question in the chat. He asked if it was the tailgate event. The fall celebration is typically a football game. There's events and activities that go on over by, there is a tailgate, I think, as well, but also community dinner as well, I believe, over in Bartels or even in Barton Hall.
All right. Last call for comments or open discussion. Anything else you wanted to discuss in this 2 minutes that we have? Dave?
Oh, thanks, Erica. Yeah, as far as what Hey was saying, my first read on getting the email was maybe it had to do with the strike, that they couldn't get things turned around in time to get the infrastructure they needed for that. And I mean, it's just, I was okay with it because it just seemed like an inevitability. You know, it's just a practical consequence and these things happen. So it was okay with me.
Thanks, Dave. Sean?
Hey, yeah. So actually, some of my colleagues here at ILR, at Catherwood Library, and also, as far as I know, some of the other libraries were somewhat disappointed by that delay. And I guess we were kind of wondering if there was some more information about why the celebration sort of fell through this year. It's like Dave said, we were speculating it might have to do with the strike. But yeah, I guess over here on the library end, we were a little bit disappointed by that news. It's not like the sky is falling any or anything like that, but.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sean, for closing us out. We want to be respectful of folks' time. So if you haven't read the agenda already, there are some bullet points at the end about our future guests and future events that we'll keep on the agenda so we know what's coming up next, folks. But thank you again for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you on September 18th when Interim President Kotlikoff is here. And before we close out, Wendy, you have your hand up.
I was actually going to motion to adjourn.
Awesome. Do we have a second?
I'll second, gladly.
Thanks, Carl. So it's been properly moved and seconded. We are adjourned, great people.
Bye, everyone.